Hello, my friends. It's me, your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, with another bewitching episode of the Broadway Cast. It's October, and like me, I'm sure you're putting together your playlist of songs from spooky musicals. October, outside of Halloween, also brings us Wicked Day, the anniversary of Wicked's opening on Broadway in 2003. And my friends, I know that, because I was there. Oh yeah, track two of your Wicked Cast album. I'm the guy that says, Glinda, is it true you were her friend? Now listen, I know you skipped that track. It's okay, I understand. But being with Wicked from the get-go was one of the greatest thrills of my entire life. From the moment the show opened, lines were around the block in San Francisco, back when the show was an easy 3.5 hours long. Plainly put, Wicked is huge. It became and remains a phenomenon. Now, I could take up an entire episode telling Wicked stories, including the Witch Brawl of '04, or how before there was Dancing Through Life, there was a whole other song called Which Way Is the Party that had some really cool choreography, but that, as I said, is for another time. Wicked seemed to have had the greatest impact with a whole generation of young girls who saw themselves in the unlikely heroine, Elphaba. Elphaba challenges our perceptions of good and bad, right and wrong. That, and she sings some of the juiciest, beltiest songs in the musical theater canon. I mean, who doesn't want to skrelt a high Z while flying high above the stage in gorgeous green makeup? I mean, I do. Simply put, I think it's not a stretch to say that Elphaba is the most coveted role in all of musical theater. But much like Elphaba herself, there is more than meets the eye when it comes to bringing her to life on stage 8 times a week. There is a very small, select group of ladies who know what it is to be the Green Girl. Today is all about Elphaba. We have 3 iconic leading ladies who have brought the Green Girl to life on Broadway, across the country, and quite frankly, all over the world. We're joined today by Jackie Burns, Teal Wicks, and Jennifer DeNoia, making out our very special coven, and they're about to spill all of the green tea. It's so fun to get together with these three because they talk in a language that only Elphaba seem to speak. Well, you'll see what I mean. All right, before we get all witchy with it, make sure that you subscribe to the show and never miss an episode. Tell all your friends all about us. You can like us. You can rate us. You can review us. Do all of it. Also, make sure that you become a supporter on Patreon. Join our Patreon family. We're going to make exclusive content that is available only to you and you alone. And doesn't that feel good to have something nobody else has? All right. Time to defy gravity. Let's go on with the show. I have officially entered the coven with 3 legendary, that's right, legendary Elphabas in one, I don't know, in one coven today. Say hello to them, shall we? Elphaba number one with, well, I'm not enumerating you, but this is not a rank system. But first up, we have Teal Wicks, who's played Elphaba in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and on Broadway. Hi, Teal.
Hey there. Hey there.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there. You've been working Sinatra tunes, huh?
Sure am. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classics, down in Texas, classic stuff.
Classic.
Very classic. And
classy gal.
Well, obviously. They know what they're doing down in Texas, deep in the heart of Texas. And also in Texas with ya, Jackie Burns is here, who to this day graces my television screen 4 or 5 times. Elekanamanamanying. I can only hope that you're getting a residual off of that every time I see that. Is that true, Jackie Burns?
That's a big fat no.
That's a big fat no? Yeah. We call that a buyout.
We call that our union sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
And that's another episode that's coming. Yep. That's an episode that's absolutely coming. And you are also Sinatra-ing with Teal. So you guys are actually together, which our listeners should know, that you're on a very cute Hacienda couch together.
Yes, we are. We're together.
Wherever you go. There it is. Oh, I think this is going to go just fine. And Jenny DeNoia is here. Jennifer DeNoia. Hi. I should be professional about this.
Oh, it's okay. Everybody calls me Jenny.
Well, Jenny's played Elphaba absolutely everywhere.
Yes.
In Chicago and Broadway, all over the world. It's wild. Tell us Jenny, where have you played the role?
Chicago, Broadway, the both U.S. national tours, Seoul, Korea, Sydney, Australia, and the West End in London.
Ooh, girl.
That is kooky. Crazy. And you were just up until like 2 weeks ago back in the Broadway company, yeah?
I finished my run. I went back as the standby for when we reopened, and I finished in mid-July. So I've had a good rest.
You've had a good rest? And how long before they call you up again, and do you think?
5 seconds.
They've already called me, so.
They have? They've already, like, listen, remember when you said you were done? Oh my gosh, are you going back in?
No, not going back in. I mean, like, I'll go back in to like fill in if there's like one night or something that they need a cover, or, you know, it depends on my situation, because I have a little one, and you know, my focus right now is to be with her. But yeah, if it works out, I'll cover, especially if I have nothing else happening. So,
but, oh my gosh, I love that. So casual. I mean, if I got nothing else going on, I'll play Elphaba on Broadway if they need it. A million musical theater girls just like put a pin in your voodoo doll.
I know.
I know that there is such a unique and special bond that exists with all of the ladies who've played Elphaba. And I really think that there is something that only the ladies who have played this role know, that I don't even know you could articulate to other people. But really quickly, outside of the Wicked world, have your paths intersected in other places? I mean, I guess obviously Teal and Jackie right now, but are there other workshops, concerts, shows that you guys have been in together? Or did you know each other before the Wicked world?
I have one.
Yeah.
Jackie and I unknowingly did children's musical theater, a children's musical theater show together when we were, I was probably 8 years old.
No.
Or nine. Yeah. Probably we're the same age, I think. Yeah. But we did a production of Really Rosie at the Hartford Children's Theater. And I didn't realize it until I was like going through like storage and like seeing old playbills that my mom has kept for me. And it was like Jacqueline Burns. And I was like, what? That sounds familiar.
Yeah. And we were doing a show together. Weren't we doing it? It was like when we were doing it on Broadway, and you like came into my dressing room and you were like, is this you? You had that playbill. And I was like, yes. And she was like, I was in it too. And I was like, wait, what? We were in the same show, because we're both from Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy? Wild?
Do you have any memories? Is there any spark of like actually remembering being with each other?
No, I don't remember what I did yesterday.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
I remember that I jump roped in the production.
I think I did too. Did we jump rope together? Oh my
gosh. Guys, you don't remember you played identical jump roping twins.
Oh my God.
All of your scenes were together.
I do have it on video somewhere, and someday, Jackie, I will send it to you.
Oh my God, stop.
The world needs that.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. And the world needs it now more than ever.
Right. Correct.
I think is the truth. All right. I've been having some fun recently on social media doing this thing that I'm calling 1 minute musicals, where I give myself 60 seconds to describe the entire plot and score of a Broadway musical. It is a shit show not to be believed, but I figured, why should I be having all the fun? So I've developed a little icebreaker game for us here, a challenge, if you will, a chilling challenge, where I'm gonna ask each of you to, in 60 seconds, give us the major plot points of Wicked. You all know that, but here's the twist. I'm going to ask you to give them from the perspective of other characters in the show. Okay. So I think that means we'll start with Miss Denoya.
And
we'll
put some
points on the clock. We'd love for Jennifer Denoya to give us all of Wicked that you can in 60 seconds from Glinda's perspective.
Well, firstly, like she starts at the top of the show from the end of the show. So she goes back in time and she's recollecting how she met Elphaba. And she literally just goes to school, and she is a privileged young woman that has kind of always gotten what she wants. She's not necessarily like an asshole, but she just hasn't experienced any other things before. And then this person kind of comes in, she's different, and she's throwing her for a loop and kind of like upsetting her perfect school year. So she's like, I don't know what's happening. And then kind of realizes that there's some interesting parts of her. So she wants to get to know her and kind of finds her like a new project to kind of, you know, set her sights on. And she kind of makes her over, makes her perfect, and they become best friends, and they go to see the wizard, all the things, all her dreams are coming true. And then something happens and Elphaba runs off and she's not agreeing and she gets very upset. So, you know, and then Elphaba kind of runs off and like decides to do her own thing. So she's like, you know what, I'm going to stick with this and like live my dreams. And she gets to be like the president of Oz alongside all the other people. And then and she's getting married to Fiero. All of her dreams are coming true. And then Elphaba shows back up again and steals Fiero. And she's like, what the F? So she gets really upset and they meet each other. They fight each other. And then, you know, they're fighting each other because they love each other, but they're just so angry and there's so much anger and love all at once. And then they then Elphaba kind of decides to tell her.
I totally forgot to start the timer on this. I have no idea where we are.
I have no idea what I'm saying right now.
But I think that's probably great. That's good. That was fantastic.
I love how like Jenny, your point of it was all from like the emotional, like internal life of Glinda.
Yeah.
Like
what's her MO? What's her motive?
Ooh, that's hard.
All right. This is hard. That's incredibly hard, right? This is what I'm saying, but it was an absolute delight to experience. All right. We'll turn our sights now to Jackie Byrne.
No, actually, I think you should do Teal. She was like, no. I'm ready. She goes, I'm going to nail it. So I think you
need- Is that what she said?
Yes.
Is that what it's weird that she said that because she's pointing at you in such a really insistent way.
And I was like, this girl go.
I mean, all right.
No, all right. You tell whoever wants who you need to go.
All right. We've got 1 minute on the clock to hear what went down in Wicked from Nessa Rose's point of view. And go.
Who's doing it?
Who's doing it?
Teal? Jackie.
Oh, okay. I'm Nessa Rose, and I'm going to tell you that I finally get to go to school, and I'm real, real excited, and my sister had to come with me because my dad made her come, and I was, like, really annoyed, and then we get there, and then, of course, 5 seconds into the whole thing, she, like, has an episode and freaks out, and all the attention is on us, and it's really embarrassing, and all I want to do is get asked out to the dance, and finally, this cute boy named Bach asked me out to this dance and it's fierce and we're like owning it and living our best lives and we like dance and like I'm like totally gonna win. And then I realize that he's in love with Glinda and I'm super super pissed. And then I become really actually more wicked than my sister. And then my sister comes in and is like, yo girl, I'm gonna make you able to walk with these magical shoes. And I get up and I walk and I'm like, work, yes. And I think Bach can now stay with me because now I can walk, so all of our troubles are on, you know, on their way. But then he's like, no. And she shrinks and Elphaba like shrinks his heart because I say a spell because I didn't know I was pretty fierce too. And I got magical. And that's
oh, it. That's time. Right. Wow, I like it.
You're welcome.
It's pretty. Yeah, you're like, good.
That was Nessa Rose Kardashian. I
yeah.
thought.
Yeah.
Exactly what that was.
We've I mean, all that's finally... how I would play it if I ever played Nessa.
Full Kardashian.
So, yeah.
All right, Teal, are you ready for yours?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. We need to know what went down in Wicked from Madame Morrible's perspective.
Oh my gosh.
On your mark, get set, go!
Okay, I am the grand dame with the dress of shiz. I am the bomb. I am like BFF with the wizard because we went to school together and like dated for a minute, but you know, that was old times. And so I'm the head, and there's this new school year and all these people come in and there's this really bitchy girl that I'm like, okay. She wrote me like a letter demanding to be in class, but you know, needy girl, just like, okay. And then this green chick shows up and she's, holy crap, she does like a magical thing all of a sudden. I'm like, you are special. You are my project. I am going to train you. She's doing so well. So then I'm like, girl, you are coming to meet the wizard because it is time. We have plans. The wizard and I have plans and we need this special girl to come and touch. So I bring her and I'm like, girl, you are going to be so famous. Use these powers. I see you for the first time. I see you, girl. And so she comes and meets the wizard and then she everything up because she all of a sudden has this like moral I don't even know what, and she's like, no, monkeys can't fly, I'm gonna like set them free, I'm gonna do all this sort of stuff. I think that's what happened anyways. And so then she runs off And then, oh no.
Yay, but we did it.
Oh, but you did it.
It's a three hour show.
It's so difficult to get it all in, but that was an absolute delight.
The show's too long.
I gave backstory to Madame Horrible though, so she I think did. I get extra points.
You did, and that's, that. And that's very impressive.
She's like, I get extra points. I had backstory. She's like, I have a vision board, and I have
right
music.
Here. Let's go to the graph that I just created. Yeah. You'll see up here the timeline.
I'm preparing for my return to Wicked as Madame Horrible, so I'm doing the research now.
Oh my gosh, could that just be the dream for every Elphaba actress to be like, I want to come back in 30, 40 years.
I mean, it will be, eventually it's going to happen. It's just nobody I think has reached that age yet.
Oh my gosh, and just saunter in giant bell sleeves. What else, I mean, that's the dream.
Just living.
Saunter in bell sleeves.
We're sauntering on stage with boas looking ridiculous. Jenny, we needed you and your dancing skills.
Oh, God.
Is there a lot of choreography that you guys are going through with these boas?
Like choreography.
Oh my god, okay, great. moving on. Tell me when the theater bug bit each of you. So now that the cat's out of the bag about this whole jump roping identical twin moment that they had in Hartford, Connecticut that they didn't remember. I guess I'll go to Teal first. When did you first get bit by the bug? What did you see that made you go, that's what I want to do? I want to be in the musical theaters.
Yeah. Well, like I grew up in Sacramento in California, and it has this really great little local art scene. And my parents always took me to all like the free things, to concerts and little theater and da da da. And my grandmother played the piano. And so there's always music around. And when I started sort of just singing along, everybody was like, oh, wow, that sounds good. And I was obsessed with the movie Annie, because who isn't as a young gal? And Tomorrow was the first song that I memorized by heart, and I would sing it. I was a really shy kid, but I would sing it like anywhere, and people would like focus on me, and I was kind of like, oh, this is something. And then when I saw, it was the touring company, the tour of Peter Pan with Kathy Rigby.
Ooh.
Came through, and I love, oh, because I also loved, I had the Mary Martin VHS, Peter Pan VHS. Mm-hmm. That I watched all the time. I didn't like the Disney Peter Pan. Yes, Ben is like,
absolutely. Oh, 100 times did I watch that. Absolutely.
I loved that Peter Pan. So I loved the world of Neverland. So seeing it live on stage, that was when I was like in a theater and saw stuff happening on stage and was able to somehow connect the dots of like, oh my God, we're here and they're there and we're all sharing this space together, and like the orchestra and the kids, they're flying and in Neverland. And I was just obsessed. I was like, I want to figure out how to be on stage like that as me.
And how did you get on stage? What were your early childhood roles? I need to know the early childhood resume.
Oh, I did like all the little, I was in like the choir at school and I did little school plays, but our plays were never very good. There was a performing arts high school that opened up right before I was going to high school, but I didn't go to that school. I went to the normal school because that's where all my friends were. But I did like school plays like Arsenic and Old Lace and like Once Upon a Mattress, but they were very, very, very busted. But there's decent regional theater in Sacramento. I never did any of the professional stuff, but there's a summer show that happened every year called The Best of Broadway, a big musical review. And my first audition ever was when I was 12 for that, and I got cast. And I sang the only song that I loved and I had music for, because my grandmother had sheet music, was God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. It was my first audition song.
That we will all remember from Christmas time.
Yeah. So for the summer musical, I was like, God rest ye merry gentlemen. I love that song. It was so cool. I did audition, though, before that for the Sacramento Ballet Nutcracker. Oh. And I went through final callbacks for like lots of different tracks and I didn't get it. And that was my first audition heartbreak. Mm. I sat on the curb and cried.
Oh, but that probably gave you the gumption, I bet, to kick it into high gear.
Gave me the hard, hardened veneer that I carry with me now.
That's why you're always chasing after trying to crack that nut.
Ugh.
Yeah.
One day I will be a candy cane dancer.
God damn it.
God damn it.
How about you, Jackie Burns?
I actually started as a dancer. I danced. and did like competition dancing, and I always sang. But like, I didn't take a voice lesson actually until my first voice lesson I took when I did Broadway. So I did the tour of Wicked. And then when I knew I was coming to Broadway, I was like, I guess I should take a voice lesson.
Did you just say that you never took a voice lesson until after you were playing Elphaba?
Yeah.
That's a hot take. Get her.
So I danced, and then so my first thing I did was at the Really Rosie Children's Theater in Hartford. And then the second, and I forgot about that, because I always say the first thing I did was the Ivoryton Playhouse, Sleeping Beauty, where I played the witch. Mm. But I forgot that I did Really Rosie when I was like 9 or 10. And then when I was 12, I auditioned for the Ivoryton Playhouse, and I auditioned, of course, for Sleeping Beauty. And this is how I got my gumption, is that, of course, I got the witch and went home crying, being like, I want to be the pretty girl. You know what I mean? And my dad was like, yeah, but Jackie, the bad guys are so much more fun. He was like, who wants to like literally sleep all show? You know what I mean?
Totally.
And I was like, I guess.
But she's the title character.
Yeah. I was like, but I think as a brunette, because brunettes, you know, you're always kind of like the like older, you always get treated, like especially in casting, if you're tall and brunette, you're older, even when you're 10, right? You know, and if you're blonde, you're like cute and pretty. So I just was like, I want to be cute and pretty.
But you got early witch training. How wonderful.
I got early witch training. I did. Yeah. And I used to sing along though to the radio, because my dance school was like 45 minutes from where we lived. And I used to, my driving, and I used to think that the DJ could hear me. And it was just a matter of time before I got my recording contract and I was on.
That is so
the next
funny.
Christina Aguilera.
That's really funny.
I like just belted
just
it out.
Turn it up and like,
I was like, ooh, I am beautiful. Yeah. I was like, are you ready?
If you hit the right frequency, it catches on the waves. It goes back to the station.
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest is like, Jackie Burns? And I was like, yes.
There's a shift in the atmosphere. So what was there ever a moment that you went, okay, I'm going to put less focus on the dancing and more on the singing?
Well, so then I always knew I could sing, like, you know what I mean? Like same with Teal, like, you know what I mean? Like I'm sure with all of us, it's like, you sing, right? You know what I mean? And like, it's just like a natural thing that you do. Right. And so when I going to college, deciding between musical theater or just straight acting, I chose to go for straight acting, because I just felt like everything is storytelling based, and that, mm-hmm. you know, smart. Anyways,
that's smart.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I went to school, I stopped, there was no dancing there. So that's when I like stopped and just like got into acting and then moved to the city. And
the belting.
Huh?
Yeah. And the belting. Got into the acting and the belting.
The belting.
Jenny DeNoia, how about you?
Well, I kind of have a similar story to Jackie. Like, I grew up dancing and that's kind of what all I knew. But when I was 6 years old, I turned 7 when this happened, like in between. But I my grandma was an usher at the Schubert Theater in New Haven. And the National Tour of the King and I was coming through the theater, and they were auditioning local kids to be in the production. And this is with Stacey Keach and Mary Beth Peel. And I got hired as a 6-year-old. I turned 7 during the 3 weeks that they were there. And I was one of the children in the production. And I barely remember the experience, but they did have like maybe 2 kids that did travel with the show that were a bit older, like in the 12-year-old range. And I remember talking to my mom and being like, I don't understand. Like, I want to keep going. Like, I want to like continue forward with this. And so that was kind of like where I got my, like my first real, like, this is what I want to do. But I also grew up, my uncle and his partner, his partner is still a performer, current Broadway national tour performer. And my uncle used to be a performer, and I grew up going to see them in shows as well. So I got like exposed to all the theater very quickly. And so, yeah, I just wanted to be in theater, I think, from the very beginning.
Did you go to school for theater?
No, I went to college for dance. I was a dance major at Point Park.
Oh, yeah. That's where it's so done.
I actually got hired in Wicked as a dancer, because I had not, similarly to Jackie, I kind of knew I could always sing-ish, but I hadn't taken a voice lesson or done the actual training to act, to play Elphaba until I was in the show and knew I wanted to try and play her.
Do you think, this is coming to me in real time, do you think that not having put that much training into the vocals was part of the reason that you landed the role or went into this? Was there something to that kind of raw side of the talent that fit?
Possibly. I think the naivety that comes with like not knowing what it takes to play Elphaba and not understanding probably helped me be like, yeah, sure, I could definitely do that. Like,
yeah,
you know, like having when you're like unknowing.
Oh, I can sing that.
I could sing that. Ooh,
yeah, I can kind of do that when you don't realize.
When you don't actually understand what it takes to do it 8 times a week, because doing it one time is very different than sustaining a contract. Like I always try and tell people, like it's very different, and that's why the voice lessons help.
Yeah. It's just such a beast, and I for one kind of can't believe that they haven't figured out an Elphaba contract that is just sensibly a 6-show contract, right? There's so many other roles that do it. And I just feel like Elphaba is so vocally demanding that it seems like that would be a shoo-in. Do you agree with that? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like when you get on a roll, like with Wicked, it's almost, I always found like the end of the week almost easier because I would like kind of get into this going motion. So like Tuesday night was always my hardest show.
Same.
And it would take me till like Thursday. And then I was like, I was good to go. So like, I think, yes, sometimes a 2-show, like a 6-2 would work, but it's almost like, I think the contract should be shorter. I think what they should do is 3 months and like alternate all of the Elphabas almost.
Yes.
So they could like, you know, because a 9-month to a year contract, like, by 9 months, you're like going a little crazy because it's just so like, it just takes everything out of you. It really does. So I feel like almost like shorter sections would sustain a little bit easier.
And don't you think that, I don't know about you guys, but like, I agree, Jenny, I'm like the exact same way. Like I'm better, like terrible Tuesday. Tuesday is always the worst. My voice is like, no, I'm not ready to sing yet. And then Wednesday is like, oh, okay. And then Thursday you're like, all right. And then like the rest of the week is like good. But for me, I think sometimes what's so hard about Elphaba is just the process of getting green and ungreen. It's like, I don't know, for me, that was always like my skin on like the 5-show weekends on like Sunday night was always so like, I don't like, it would, especially in the winter, would get like, so like, it'd get painful. Like I'd always be like, I don't want to wash my face. It'd always take me a while to like get out of my makeup on Sunday. Cause it just was, my face would burn. And that's for me, what would be the hardest part of playing Elphaba was just like the pain for me of like my skin just being so angry, but maybe that's just me.
My body was just like exhausted. Like I still have, I have not even played the role nearly as much as you two, but like even from almost 3 years of it, like I still have stuff in my neck and my shoulders that I know comes from Elphaba world.
Just
also the tense part of it, like
because you're like, she's just
yeah
all the time.
Oh my god, all the time.
Tell me a little bit about the audition process that each of you went through to find your way to the role.
Start with Jenny, because she is like the most interesting. They should have a statue up for Jenny.
Yeah.
She has saved that show so much. I think she is the MVP of all MVPs.
Like, absolutely.
She's the GOAT. Like, especially over the pandemic. Like, come on. Like, they are so lucky to have her. But so I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. I learned from Bess. I stood by for both of these ladies over here. I stood by for so long. Like, I mean, I only filled in standing by for Jackie because I just filled in for somebody's vacation or leave as I normally do. But Teal was playing Elphaba when I was at the end of my standby contract on Broadway before I had ever played the role. But I, you know, like I came in as a dancer, like I said, and I kind of was the person that like, cause this was back in, I started in 2006, early 2006. So it was before, like, there were so many people that they could just fly in at a moment's notice, and somebody got injured. So I was like, I'll be an emergency cover. And they said yes. And I like kind of just really slowly climbed up the ladder for Alphabet, because I was a standby for on and off for like 7 years before I actually got a contract as Alphabet. So it was a long time.
Wait, when they asked you, when you said I could be an emergency cover, did they audition you? Did they make you sing it, or were they?
They did. So our musical director in Chicago, I recorded myself on a cassette tape and they sent it to New York, because this was like before iPhone.
Yeah.
And they kind of just said, yeah, she can be an emergency cover. And in that time that I was an emergency cover, I did go on. I went on once. And then when the understudy who I was covering for came back into the show, I became like the fourth cover. So they kept me and kept my costumes and would let me do understudy rehearsals every once in a while. But I was like fourth in line to go on, kind of thing. It's weird. Wow.
I just can't imagine being in the creative department and going, by the way, guys, we've got a dancer in the show who's doing the Ozdust Ballroom, who I think really needs to be playing Alphabet.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's like,
I
mean, amazing.
I don't think they thought that of me. And I don't think I was I definitely am, like, I look back now, and even when I was in my standby years, like being like, I really want to play this role, and kind of feeling frustrated, I'm grateful that I had that all that time, because I don't think I would have had the rest of the Wicked career that I did, you know, if I hadn't had that prep time, because I needed it. I wasn't vocally trained. I really was just like flying by the seat of my pants and hadn't taken like any kind of acting back. I had no acting background. So like, I really learned from watching the women that I was standing by for so long. Like, I mean, I learned how to do it, you know?
Yeah. What was the audition process for you ladies? What hoops do you got to jump through?
For me, my very first audition for Wicked ever was for Nessa Rose at one point. I think it was for the Chicago company. My very first professional job, and I got my equity card, was a production of Pippin at Goodspeed.
Everything happens in Connecticut.
Yeah, clearly.
And that's launch pad for...
Uh-huh.
The springboard.
Yeah. And so like from that, and like Stephen Arimus was really on board for like our rehearsal process of Pippin and all, because it was a Pippin that they were, you know, they're trying to do a Broadway revival. And at one point they're like, this is going to be the version, or at least that was the hope. And then it didn't happen. But, and it was my first gig, and I was just like, well, yeah. I got my equity card and my thing. So that got me, I think, in the, like, Stephen kind of was like, oh yeah, Stephen Arimus was like, oh yeah, I kind of have heard that girl before. Oh yeah, 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 da, da. So my first audition was for Nessa Rose for I think Chicago, and I didn't get it. And then I also was like, okay, yeah, but I'm Alphabet. I'm Alphabet, you guys. And then auditioned for Alphabet for it was there where. I think either two, there were two spots open. There was the standby in LA and the cover, I don't remember in which company. And so I was also back at Goodspeed doing another show. And so I was driving back and forth to New York for these auditions and callbacks, and had like a dance call in the rehearsal studio at the Gershwin.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And there were like two champagne of us, hands. Yeah, doing the champagne hands, Ozdust Ballroom, and all of that.
Oh, I know them.
Yeah. And then, oh, this is my favorite little story or favorite tidbit. On my final callback for Alphabet, you know the Yogi Teas? They have the little wisdom sayings, yeah, on them.
Oh.
I had a throat coat Yogi Tea that I took with me, you know, New York travel and all that stuff, waiting in the old Bernard. You remember their old office in, yeah, the concrete,
yeah,
cavern?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. But my little Yogi Tea, the saying was, you will defy the odds.
Oh oh my God, that's so cool.
I know, right?
And you were like, this is it.
Yeah. And I, you know, it was one of those, I don't have a lot of those auditions, but it was one where I was like, as soon as I finished, I was like, oh yeah, that's mine. And so I was still doing a show at Goodspeed. I was doing 1776 and I got the standby in LA and I had to leave the show 2 weeks early.
You always leave Goodspeed
shows. I did. Early. Yeah, I leave Goodspeed shows early.
I still love you.
Well,
our apologies to the Goodspeed Opera House.
Yeah. I love you. Anyways, that's my story.
That's so interesting.
Is it?
Yeah, that okay, I didn't know that you did the dance thing. I don't think I would. Yeah. Oh, God.
Did you have to dance for it at all?
Because it was the other Elphaba cover track, so you had to do that.
Right.
So they were trying to figure out who to do that. And I think there were like three or four of us in that little dance call in the Gershwin rehearsal studio.
It's wow. Two champagne hands down. It's up, then it's down again.
Okay, go.
What is it that you think, in your opinion, what about this particular character resonates so deeply with generations of women at this stage of the game, of generations of humans? What is it about Elphaba do you think is so profound for people?
It's the underdog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the classic. I mean, like every single person in the world at some point has felt like an outcast, and you know, and has felt different or other, or you know, and so it's. I mean, yeah, that's what I think.
Yes,
yeah. There's not one person that hasn't felt at one point in their life misunderstood or hasn't found their place and doesn't know their footing or where they belong or what they should do. You know, so it's. I think that we all want that. To succeed.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And going into a role that became pretty iconic pretty quickly, right? This thing took off like gangbusters from the get-go. When you're going into this role and other women have played this role and are playing this role and will play this role, I got to imagine there's a whole lot of like, what am I bringing to the role? How do I make this Elphaba mine? And I would love to hear what that is, what that process was for each of you.
I never felt that way. I really? Was just like, no, I was like, oh God, I hope I can do this. Like, shit, like imposter syndrome of like, actually I remember when I did it, I was doing hair on Broadway, and that was my Broadway debut. And I remember I got a show at Paper Mill at was doing Smokey Joe's. And then I also got Catch Me If You Can. And so I was so excited because I was like, okay, it wasn't a fluke. Like I got another Broadway show, yay. And then like, and for some reason I felt more like I made it when I got Paper Mill, cause I felt like certain regional theaters are so like stuck, you know, like kind of like snobby that sometimes it's actually harder. I feel like to get a regional theater show than a Broadway show, or at least it used to be like that, you know, because now Broadway like is
hard. Cause they have their people.
Cause they have their people and it's like starry.
You gotta, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh.
Anyways. And so, and then when I auditioned for Elphaba, I kept turning the audition down because I had just moved in with my boyfriend who then became my husband at the time. So my agent called and was like, oh, you have an audition. We have an audition for you for the national tour for the understudy of Elphaba. And this was back in the day when I used to pick up my phone when my agents called and I don't know how to say no to people. Like, so like, I'm always like, sure. Yes. And then like, after I say it, I'm like, wait, no, actually I don't want that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to do it in the moment. So I would say yes. And then I was like, wait, no, I don't want to go on tour. I want to like, I just, you know what I mean? So then I called back my agent and I was like, no, actually I don't want to do it. And they're like, okay. And then the next week they called with the standby for that tour.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. And then I was like, and then again, we called back and was like, no, actually I just don't want to go on tour. Like, you know what I mean? And so then I turned it down. And then like a few days later, they call back and they're like, okay, we have an audition for the actual role. And he goes, and before I can say, he's like, and before you can say anything, he was like, you are the biggest pain in the ass ever. He was like, you're going in for this audition and that is final. And I was like, okay.
All right, sorry.
Sure, whatever. And I think I got it because I didn't want to go. So there was like no pressure. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, whatever. And I was doing the show at Paper Mill. And so I was already like tired because we were in tech. And I like went in on my day off on Monday, and then I had my like call back on Tuesday, and then I had a work session with Lisa on Friday, and then I had my final call back on Monday. And they actually called Mark Hobie, who was the head of paper mill and asked how I was to work with, because I had never done anything like in their mind, like I had just only had done the, like, you know, Black Boys Trio and Hair, and I hadn't, you know, hadn't done anything. Anyway, so he knew I got the role before I did, which was hilarious. And I got to rehearsal that day and he's like, do you have anything to tell me? And I was like, yes, I got Alpha. And he's like, oh, I knew. And I was like, oh my God. Anyways. So when I got on the tour, long story short, I don't know why this is so long. I was like, after my second day of rehearsal, I went to Peter, who is the stage manager, and I was like, I think they made a mistake and it's okay. I'm just gonna go home.
Like, really?
I was like, I can't do this. This is a lot. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm very overwhelmed. And he was like, you're fine. It's gonna be okay. You're okay. And yeah. I was like, okay. Like, I had such a, dang. So there was no thought of like, how am I gonna make this my own? I was like, how am I gonna do this?
I was like, do you remember your first performances, or do you go to a complete white room? Is it like a complete blackout?
Oh, on my first performance, I it's a blackout, but I do remember I screwed up. I came in too early. Dominic Amendum was conducting for me. And I came in early on the Unlimited.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Ticket, ticket. And I was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah.
And so hard to catch.
And all, like, yeah, you're like, and all of a sudden I saw him being like trying to get in, and I was like, shit. I remember that, but other than that, I don't remember my first performance. No,
I remember my first Broadway performance because it was my Broadway debut, but I don't remember any of the other ones before then. I remember the terrible performances of Wicked.
Oh, hundo P.
But the only one I remember is my Broadway debut, which is a good one to remember. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, that's a milestone one.
Yeah.
Did you find as you went on to, once you got through that first performance, once you got into the routine of 8 shows a week, did the character begin to change and morph and grow? Did you find a deeper understanding? Did you find more of yourself to put into it? How does that happen?
Yeah.
I feel like it kind of like goes right alongside your real life. You know, you can kind of like, I don't know. For me, I mean, I've been in the show for so long on and off that like I've been in so many different places in my life, whether it be like dating, having child, you know, going through ups and downs, you know, all the things of life. So I feel like it's massively changed. And that's kind of why it's been easy to stay in, because I continue to learn different moments in different ways, you know?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I know what you mean. For me, like, because Alpha was also the first, like, big lead role I had ever done. So figuring out how, one, to, like, survive that stamina, energy, you know, all, physically, all of that. You're just like, oh, wow. Okay, right. This is what it means to be a lead. But I, like, with Alphaba especially, I mean, I don't know. I don't, probably all the other characters, people can figure this out. But, like what I think you were saying, Jenny, it's, one of the greatest things that I now looking back was like learning how to take things happening in my own life and like bring them into my Alphaba work, like Teal's life through the filter of Alphaba, and let that like live on stage. Like I remember when I was in LA, I on my way to the show, I was in a minor fender bender, and I was so like emotionally jacked up from that and did the performance, and I found myself like having all of that emotion come out in the show in various points and times, and it became a completely different show for me. But it was just an interesting way, and I was like, oh wow, I can actually like take that and channel it and find its way to live in this story and be with this character. And that's how I found, because I never like wanted to try to I guess we all want to put our stamp on it, but I wasn't actively trying to be like, how am I going to be different? I was like, I'm just trying to do my version of this character. I'm trying to just get through the show. And I like her story. I think I understand a lot, but being able to let my real emotional life through it was a great way to be like, oh, that's how it becomes unique and specific and make every show different and interesting.
So. And in a weird way, like therapeutic. Because you can kind of, as long as you're in a place at the moment where you can like let work go and go home and do your own thing, like it's almost like a release of the day.
Yeah.
Jackie, did you feel like your Alphaba was a different Alphaba at the end of a run than at the beginning?
I felt that my Elphaba, the first time I played it on Broadway compared to the second time I played at Broadway on Broadway, were night and day. The first time I played it on Broadway, I always felt like I like was holding on for dear life to just like get through. Like I was not in control of it at all. And then the second time I did it on Broadway, I was a different person, and I felt like I was in control. Like when I walked out on stage, it was like me in control of the character rather than just be like, I don't know what's gonna happen, which was like the first time I did it on Broadway. Which I just realized, the first time I did it on Broadway, I replaced Teal. And the second time I did it on Broadway, I replaced Jenny.
Yay!
There's no other role that I can think of that has so much intersection between the actresses who have played it, because they really have kind of consistently put people through standby positions into replacements and the road to Broadway, to Timbuktu and to Guam and wherever, everywhere else Jenny's done it.
Literally the MVP.
Don't say that.
What is it about, what are the characteristics of Elphaba that you like the most? What do you like about her? And what do you dislike about her?
I like that she has no filter, because I feel like I think way too much about responding, or even just like posting something on Instagram. It will take me 4 hours to write anything. Dang. To the point where I'll just write one sentence because I just can't go through that. I love that Elphaba just like blurts out and like doesn't think about what the repercussions or like how she's going to make anybody feel, because it's exhausting feeling that way.
Oh, love that. I also love how she really, really like sticks to her like guns and beliefs. Like she's like, no, this is right, that is wrong, I am going with this, you know. Very like really, really takes that to heart and carries it with her through the whole show, but also like is also a very empathetic character and person, like, because from the trauma of, you know, being born green and being like a little monster, you could go through and just, you know, be the legit like wicked witch and be terrible and hate everyone and go through just like, yeah, just being a terror. But she really tries to like see people and let them be who they are. Oh, I kind of lost my thread, but she has a really lovely heart when it would be so easy to not have that heart. And yet she still really holds true to her own personal beliefs, her own moral compass.
Yeah, she stands by the beat of her own drum, whatever that means. I think it's funny that what Jenny, like what she like loved about Elphaba is what like I didn't like Elphaba, because that is me. Like I speak before I think, you know what I mean? And I'm always left to be like, shit, I shouldn't have said that. You know what I mean? And my partner at the time used to say, like, he was like, when you play Elphaba, you become even worse of just being like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's not me, I'm method. I'm just a method actress.
But it's like, it like amps up those parts of you that are already like, I don't think before I speak.
Yeah, so. Which I need more of that.
So it's funny. Like you guys love that about her. And I was always like, oh, it's like me as Elphaba would always be like, see, she shut up for a second.
You would get what she wanted.
Look how passionate she is. I love how like she loves so hard. You know what I mean? I just think that's so, I think that's such a beautiful quality in any human being, you know, like when somebody truly just loves wholeheartedly in something. No matter what anyone else thinks. You know? I think that's really,
I mean, she changes admirable. The rest of the characters around her because of her heart and her passion.
Did you find your performances changed a great deal based on which Glinda you were playing opposite?
Yes, for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that if you're truly, which all of these women are in the moment and in telling
scene partners,
good scene partner, like, you can't help but like, you know,
react differently
because
a different human.
They're a different human bringing a different take, which is always what makes it so fun and exciting, because then it makes you find something different in your show.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right. No, I think that's great. I just like, I'm not able to look back and be like, oh yeah, I was different with so-and-so and so-and-so, because like, for me, like even with like a certain Glinda, she would be different from like night to night and then it would evolve. So it's just, I think I was always just like there and I was like, I don't really know what I was doing. I just know if I was feeling insane or exhausted or terrified about surviving the show, or if I was relaxed and confident. That's all I remember.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
Just and your general, like, how far from homeostasis am I right now?
And I always had awesome Glindas. I mean, I always had great casts, but my Glindas were like always super duper 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 strong. Not that any Glinda is not, but
right.
Yeah, but they were like women that I respect so much as actresses as well. And so it was just so fun to just be in the moment with them. I never had any weak sauce gals. So they just made me have to be in the moment and a good actor as best as I could be.
Yeah, you're terrible. You're amazing.
What?
Well, get over it.
What if there was a dirty secret that no one knew about your alphaba? What would your alphaba's dirty secret be?
Oh my gosh.
So deep.
Scandalacious. Scandalous.
Yeah.
I don't know if I understand the question, but what you guys answer first.
What would your dirty?
I don't know.
My alphaba like had like boy band, like, you know, like magazines under her bed.
Maybe. I can give you an example. We did an episode with some guys who played Billy Flynn, and one of them said that the deep dark secret that Billy, no one knew about him, was that he only owns one suit. So, yeah. So what is the underlying thing that in your alphaba world that nobody else would know that's just for you, that is now going to be for us?
That my alphaba really loves Lay's potato chips and Pedialyte at intermission. That's my dirty secret.
Needs salt.
Salt and hydration.
Uh-huh. Yeah, great.
No idea. This is not funny or clever, but because I don't know if you girls do. I read the book Wicked. Because I'm that type of girl. I'm like,
you guys didn't. The other two didn't.
I'm gonna read it.
No.
There's a lot of alphabas that haven't.
I started reading it because then it was so different than the script to me, and I was like, this is confusing, and I put it away.
And I loved
different pieces of
yeah, I loved it because it fills in all the blanks for me. But in the beginning, I talk about when she was like a baby, she used to like bite her fingers off and then they would grow back, and she had like two rows of teeth. So that's when I was like, she was like a monster. That was my chat. And I was like, could you imagine? Like, she was that. And the fact that like Nessa Rose in the book doesn't have arms.
Yeah.
And she's like on like almost like a dolly. You have to like wheel her around.
Uh-huh.
So like those things, like the really like dark monster quality, that was,
I love that.
I held on to that so tight. I loved it.
I love that. How about you, Jenny?
Oh gosh, I can't think of anything. I feel like I'm blank right now.
Great.
All right. That's because her is the goat. You're just the goat.
Yeah.
She's just over here being the greatest of all time.
Well,
right,
again, I just feel like Elphaba for me was that person that said everything. So I feel like she really wouldn't have a secret, like in my head. Do you know what I mean? Like, because she,
yeah, Jenny. Yeah.
Unless the secret was like, you know, hiding that she was still alive. Spoiler alert. You know what I mean?
Like, oh my God, nobody knew. Oh no, Jenny.
Oh, my, so sorry to the children. Sorry, kids.
I'm gonna watch the film now. Jeez.
Oh, shoot.
Sorry, everyone.
A two-part film is gonna be going to it now. Oh my God, Universal.
15-hour film that's coming out. All right, now some rapid fire about the show. What was your favorite moment to sing?
To sing, I love No Good Deed.
Same.
Wizard and I love Wizard and I. When in good, when
yeah,
in
yeah,
good
yeah.
place.
Same.
Wizard and I.
Yeah.
Same, yeah. Most difficult moment to perform.
Wizard and I.
Wizard and I.
Yeah, but I would say on a good day, No Good Deed was harder for me.
Got it.
What would be a backstage bit or action that you had kind of woven into your backstage choreography that nobody got to see?
I always show up right when I'm walking on stage.
Oh.
Like, I don't ever show up early to it. Like, I literally like walk right on.
I got nothing.
Great.
I have nothing. I don't know. It was either stage, dressing room, or walking and drinking water. Like, that was literally it.
Well, and that's, I think that's
cute, but ugh, I don't remember.
I love the backstage moments with like crew and and other cast members. Like I love like on Broadway when you would run down the stairs. I loved like connecting with the band because you could see like it's different a little bit. It's a little bit different now because of COVID. They've moved people around, but I would always like say hi to the drummer and say hi to both of the guitar player and the bass player. And also like when you would open up the trap and say, yell at Dorothy, and you could see the French, is it French horn, I think? Yeah. See the French horn player and you would be like, and then slam the door down and be like, they would be down there like this because it's so loud when you slam that trap door. I like those moments.
Oh, I love those. I wish I could remember. Did we ever, was there ever a time where like, I don't remember where the wizard head would live backstage, but I feel like there were times in some sort of cross, I would always like bop him on the nose or something. I don't know.
I was probably on a tour or in San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't know.
In New York, it's kind of tucked. It's tucked away.
Yeah. In San Francisco back when it was a good 3.5 hours, if it was a moment. Tell me about no fly shows. Have we all experienced a no fly show?
Oh my God. So many.
What goes through your mind at a no fly show?
I feel like in the beginning of my, so sorry. In the beginning of my run as doing Elphaba, it was terrifying. But then I kind of like lived for those moments because you could let yourself out and stand on the stage with your legs like planted on the stage like a normal singer and just like, it was fun. I felt
go to town on it.
Yeah.
I hated them because I always oversang and sounded like shit because I was like, I always felt like I was ruining Broadway because they came to see the girl fly and then I'm singing a song about defying gravity while I'm standing on stage. And usually the conductor's right there just laughing at you and everyone on stage is like laying down laughing at you and you're like, I suck and I ruined Broadway and I'm not flying and the jig is up and like, no matter how good I sing this, I'm still not flying and everyone in the audience feels gypped. So that's where my head would go. So I'd always feel so bad and be like,
definitely would oversing and then be upset.
I understand that impulse to be like, okay, I'm gonna make up for all of the technical difficulties now. My friends, I want to be respectful of your time and know we have to go, and I could talk to you all day long about this, and maybe we'll just have to do a part two.
Well, just like the movie.
Yeah, fantastic. And we'll release them A Christmas Apart.
Great.
It seems to be trending. You're all sensational. I'm a great big fan. Thank you for joining us. And I can't wait for everyone to hear you guys talk all about it. So go forth, be fabulous, live the beautiful lives.
Sorry, we have to go sing some French Ultra.
No, absolutely. Love it. Thank you guys
acting,
so much.
No acting involved in our show
thank
right
you.
Now.
Bye, you guys. Bye.
Work the boas.
Bye.
Ah, the witches and I want to say thank you to Jackie Teal and Jenny DeNoia. That was so much fun, and I felt like we had so much more to talk about. We may have to do an Elphaba's part two and dig even deeper into it. Thanks so much for joining me, ladies. For now, I want to remind you to subscribe to the show, rate us, review us, tell all your friends all about us. Make sure that you go into the link in the liner notes, click it, and guess what? Poof, you could be supporting us as part of our Patreon family, and we'll get you some exclusive content made only and justly for you. So make sure you do that. Until next time, I remain your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying, have a great show.